Pháp thoại mà các bạn đang nghe được phát từ phatam.com, website hàng đầu về truyền thông đa phương tiện Phật giáo.
Respected Dharma Masters, fellow practitioners, and guests. In recent years, our world has become beset with adversities and our lives filled with increasing unhappiness. As time goes on, these adversities will become more and more frequent, more and more severe. Someone asked how the compassionate Buddhas and Bodhisattvas help all sentient beings to be free from pain. They do this by teaching us how to overcome our greed, anger, and ignorance, so that our minds will no longer be deluded, but instead become awakened. By teaching us the law of cause and effect. To end our suffering, we first have to know what causes it. As human beings, we undergo the sufferings of birth, old age, sickness, and death. We suffer hardships, the inability to attain what we want, separation from those we love, and we find ourselves in association with those whom we resent or even hate. We are surrounded by all of these with no apparent way of being truly free. We need to understand that catalytic conditions or circumstances have to exist for a cause to generate an effect. By controlling these catalytic conditions, we can have some effect on the consequences. We need to practice good deeds during our lifetimes to generate good karma. Then, we will truly appreciate that having happy and fulfilling lives is the karmic result generated from a good cause and a good condition. This is the way to attain liberation and to free ourselves from suffering and to attain happiness. Today, many of us feel the weight of our negative karma as we witness the unhappiness and suffering all around us. They are caused by our selfish and erroneous viewpoints, by our choosing to benefit ourselves at the expense of others. How do we remove this negative karma? How do we prevent further occurrences? By dedicating ourselves to helping and benefiting society, by not protecting ourselves at the expense of others. Most of us still have the subconscious desire to want to control others, whether they are people, animals, even inanimate objects. But by letting go of this attachment, we can be liberated. Awakened beings live their lives with great ease. They fulfill their responsibility of advising and educating sentient beings by explaining to them the true reality of life and the universe, by explaining the law of cause and effect, by explaining that every cause, every thought, word, and action has a result. Whatever people decide to do, it is their consequence, their choice. We simply accord with the condition as we educate them, and then we leave the rest up to them. By doing this, our minds will remain serene as they generate the concentration and thus the wisdom to effectively interact with people, matters, and objects. The benefits that can be derived from such practice are infinite and boundless. Not only can our present suffering be resolved, but our accumulated negative karma, accumulated over infinite lifetimes, can be resolved as well. Why then are we unable to realize the true benefits? Because we are still obstructed by our own negative karma. We are unable to see what is right before our very eyes. We are constantly reminded by images of awakened beings, constantly prompted by our reciting the sutras, impelled by our daily chanting and listening to Dharma talks. Yet we still are unable to truly comprehend the teachings, still unable to apply the principles in our daily lives. We cannot blame the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas for not helping. They are trying to. We are not listening. We have a wondrous, a rare chance that is about to slip by us. To be born as a human and able to hear the teachings is an unbelievably rare opportunity. It is one not encountered for millions of years. It is as rare as a bubble rising to the surface of a vast sea. To break through the surface of that sea within the one wreath of flowers that is floating upon it. Allowing this to happen will be a tragic mistake that is entirely of our own making. To prevent this from happening, we need to reflect. We need to feel remorse for all our mistakes. This is a learning process that will enable us to overcome our afflictions and our bad habits, and thus to remove our negative karma. How do we do this? By reflecting upon our faults and vowing never to repeat them again. Daily practice will help to decrease our negative karma. It is to practice in the midst of society, not to be separated from it. Our goal is the mind of sincerity, purity, equality, compassion, and loving kindness. It is the goal of awakening. Only with this mind will we be able to solve all of our problems. They cannot be solved by physical force, by war. They are solved by gentleness and loving kindness towards all beings, animate and inanimate. It is in our best interest to be rid of the desire to control, for it will only result in our committing further transgressions, thus increasing our negative karma. No one can truly control another. History provides us with many examples of those who tried and failed. Hitler's invasion of Europe, the Japanese invasion of China, the Russians in Afghanistan, the United States in Vietnam, all failed. Instead of these countries spending huge amounts of money on warfare, they could have spent it on caring for people and supporting those who were suffering hardships. In this way, they could have peacefully won them over. Or they could have used this money to educate their own citizens, to help them to become more self-sufficient, to pay more attention to internal needs instead of external affairs. Our every thought needs to be of benefiting all sentient beings. Not only in our behavior should we never hurt any sentient beings, but also we should never give rise to even a single thought of hurting anyone, anything else. We should never even think or say anything that can cause distress to others. If we can truly follow this teaching, then in our daily lives, no matter what we do, there will be great compassion, great gentleness, great loving kindness. This is the way to truly influence and help people. Using physical force to try to solve problems will not only create enemies, but it will generate the cause to be reborn into the hell realms. By practicing in accordance with the teachings, we will achieve results. For in this way, we will transform our minds and hearts. Since everything is a reflection of our minds and hearts, everything can be transformed by them. When we accord with the teachings, our thoughts will change and they will become proper and correct. We would do well to let go of selfishness, to only have thoughts that benefit others. Instead, we are still wrapped up in ourselves, in our own concerns, thinking only of protecting the interests of ourselves, our group, our country. This way of thinking has led to quarrels among people, feuds among groups, wars among countries. It has led to massive damage on both sides, the tragic loss of lives, the excessive monetary cost, the disastrous destruction of land, the final destruction of friendships and peace, and the grave consequences incurred due to the law of cause and effect. Our complete lack of concern for plants, living and non-living creatures of our natural environment has resulted in the destruction of this very environment. Ultimately, it is we who suffer from this negligence and lack of compassion. We are all one entity. We are all interrelated closely with one another. Everything, including us, comes from the coming together of causes. So to harm others is to harm ourselves. Once we truly comprehend this, we will no longer hurt any other being. Being overly concerned with our own interests and those of our group and our country is the root cause of all misfortunes and adversities. Taking care of this problem solves all other problems. When we practice accordingly, with proper and caring behavior, we will see an increase in our good karma and a decrease in our negative karma. In turn, our suffering, our unhappiness will be reduced, and we will experience a favorable change in our circumstances. When we give rise to one single thought of inequality, we turn a favorable situation into an unfavorable one. However, with just one single thought of equality, the Buddha realm will appear in that moment. When we give rise to one single thought of holy beings, the heaven realm will appear in that moment. Likewise, with one thought of greed, anger, ignorance, arrogance, our daily lives will become unsettled, unmanageable. However, with one thought of purity, our lives will again become harmonious and peaceful. Our lives are really unbelievably short. However, we are very, very fortunate to have been born as humans, able to learn and understand that the law of cause and effect is unchangeable, is permanent. We reap what we sow. By sowing good causes, we reap good effects. By sowing bad causes, we will reap bad consequences. Even beings with perfect understanding, wisdom, and compassion cannot change this reality. However, with the causes that we have already planted, we can learn to alter catalytic conditions before they come into effect. Furthermore, we need to refrain from committing any more bad deeds and to perform only good deeds. To distance ourselves from adverse conditions. In some cases, this can reduce and even eliminate the bad effects. And this is how we control our own consequences to transform our environment and to change the direction in which we are currently headed. We are learning of more and more prophecies that speak of increasing disasters, even of the end of the world. These prophecies also tell us that these could be reduced or delayed or even prevented if we are able to replace our incorrect ways with those that are good, with those that benefit others, not ourselves. But if we do not turn back now, then it will be very hard to avoid these. It is crucial that everyone understands that using physical force cannot solve problems, for even if we destroy a country, even if we detonate enough bombs to wipe out the face of the earth, it will solve nothing. We cannot waste this opportunity, but need to cultivate in an utmost sincere, diligent manner to apply the principles with unselfish thoughts and behavior, to be good, to be warm, to be sincere, to put all our efforts into helping others. In this way, all that is good will come our way. Buddha Shakyamuni told us that there are three cataclysmic disasters in our world: fire, water, and wind. Fire is caused when we feel jealousy, when we feel hatred. Where do floods come from? From our greed. And disasters caused by wind are the results of our ignorance. If we want to avoid or even to be rid of these, we must sever our greed, anger, and ignorance. We should neither feel greed for worldly teachings nor for any other kind of teachings. For to feel the slightest trace of greed will block us from severing the mind of greed, will block us from eradicating the disasters which are increasing in both frequency and severity. This is vitally important. These have been predicted by many ancient prophecies from respected leaders and religious leaders throughout the world, in the East and in the West. 3,000 years ago, Buddha Shakyamuni told us of the partial destruction of this world that would be from war, epidemic, and famine. He told of a war that would last for 7 days and 7 nights, then an epidemic that would last for 7 months, 7 days, and finally a famine that would last for 7 years, 7 months, and 7 days. In the past, it was almost impossible to imagine how a war could last just 7 days but have such devastating results. But anyone who has been to Hiroshima or Nagasaki would realize that what the Buddha was describing was nuclear warfare. In Nagasaki, after the atomic explosion, many people survived the explosion itself but were infected with atomic fallout. And consequently, many of them died during the first 6 months. This can be described as an epidemic. The radiation sickness that results from atomic fallout is insidious. It starts by destroying one white cell and progresses until there is massive cell destruction. Then, uncontrolled bleeding. And finally, death. Anyone who is still alive at least 7 months after the detonation would be considered as having survived the immediate effects of the bomb. For years after the explosion, there were no trees, no plants, no grass. All was barren. The trees and grass started to grow approximately 8 months after the detonation of the bombs. It was as we had been told, the ground will grow nothing for 7 years, 7 months, and 7 days. In this period, all will suffer from famine. From this, we realize that the partial destruction of the world that was told by the Buddha could indeed be that of nuclear warfare. Could it really happen? Many believe it is very likely. Access to nuclear weapons is becoming more widespread, more difficult to control. No one knows how long this tentative control can continue. Very honestly, the only way to attain real control is to encourage and help all to understand the need to prevent human-made tragedies. If we observe the world situation around us clearly, then we will see that it is very difficult to avoid this upcoming disaster. If the war were to happen now, half the world's population could be killed. How can we hope to escape such a war? We need to stop all bad thoughts, speech, and behavior. We need to accumulate good deeds. How? By ceasing all selfish thoughts. By constantly thinking only how to help others, by letting go of our own interest for the interest of all others. This will help us to avoid all that is bad and will help us to embrace all that is good. But if our every thought continues to be only of ourselves, it will be very difficult for us to avoid even more misfortunes. Why do we persist in our anger, our hatred, our fighting? Why do we have conflicts, the inability to tolerate others? Why do we seem so determined to keep heading towards the brink? Selfishness, wrong viewpoints, the inability to truly care for all others. The inability to truly understand that everything arises from the mind. The inability to understand that every single thought we have is instantly perceived throughout the entire universe. We need to let go of our selfishness and to understand that the whole universe is our home and that we are one with the universe. We have the same self-nature as enlightened beings. The difference between them and us is that they understand this. All sentient beings have been our past parents. All sentient beings are future awakened beings. Understanding this, truly understanding this, how could we not be respectful to all beings, animate and inanimate? How could we possibly harm, hurt, or cause distress to any other being? We originally had this comprehension, this great broad-mindedness. Then why are we so narrow-minded now? We are deluded, unable to see through our false thoughts and beliefs. Our innate wisdom and abilities are temporarily lost to us. However, if we can just break through this delusion, then we will be able to uncover this wisdom. For it is not permanently lost. In the Flower Adornment Sutra, we see the great broad-mindedness of enlightened beings. All of the infinite and countless numbers of beings at the assembly who gather to hear this unsurpassed teaching were one. If we could just understand this true reality and expand our minds and our hearts, then we too would recognize that no matter what race, religion, belief system, what culture, we are all one. With this wisdom, discrimination, misunderstanding, and conflict among beings would naturally diminish and disappear. First, man-made tragedies would be avoided. Then, what we think of as natural-made tragedies would also disappear. The environment changes with our minds. when our minds are serene and compassionate, our living environment will become tranquil and peaceful. Today, our living environment is becoming polluted. It is becoming destroyed. Some say that the earth is rapidly becoming unsuitable for living. How did this really happen? It is the result of the bad intentions and deeds of we human beings. And this is the real reason for everything that is happening around us in the world, in the universe, today. To save our world, we need to use great wisdom to help those who are deluded to become awakened. We do this through education. All the great sages have used education to overcome ignorance. Recently, a practitioner asked how he could be assured of being freed from the cycle of birth and death, from reincarnation. He was told to let go of all desires, good and bad. We cannot be truly free if we have not yet let go. And we cannot let go because we are still clinging to something. Find it. We must find it. If we cannot, then even if we are born into the highest level of heaven, where we will live through 80,000 cycles of creation, existence, and complete annihilation of the world, we will still be mired, still be lost in the cycle of birth and death. What can we do? Find out what we are clinging to and let go. Let go of all attachments. Let go of feelings of gain and loss. Let go of discriminatory, wandering thoughts. Let go of the thought of how others treat us. Let go of the thought of those who owe us, of those we owe. Only with purity of mind can we let go. And only then, can we attain genuine, permanent happiness. If we cannot do this, then we are truly lost. For our vows, our beliefs are not sincere enough. No matter how much we practice, we will be unable to be free, serene, and at peace. For we are still clinging to one of the five desires of wealth, lust, fame, food or drink, and sleep. still discriminating between what we perceive as right or wrong. Greed for these will lead us into the downward spiral of the three bad realms. And although with enough good karma we can go to the highest heavenly realm of neither thought nor non-thought, where the beings have lifespans of 80,000 eons, we also go to the hell realms, where the beings there have lifespans of infinite eons. When compared to the 80,000 eons, the time spent in the hells is unimaginably long. When we consider the time spent in this world and the time spent in the other realms, our time here is a flash of lightning, a drop of dew, a fleeting cloud. It does not exist. It is inconsequential. Today, we still have obstacles due to our lack of understanding. Why can we not let go? We are still clinging to something. Because of this clinging, we are still mired, still lost in the cycle of birth and death, still lost in the 10 realms of existence. We need to know that if we cannot transcend the cycle of birth and death, most of our time will be spent in the three bad realms. Greed is the cause of the karma that results in our being born into the hungry ghost realm. Anger is the cause of our being born into the hell realms. Then why are we born into the animal realms? Because we were ignorant. Allow me to give you an example. Once upon a time, there was a very famous priest in a very old religion. He decided that it was the right day to perform the ritual sacrifice of a goat. In his ignorance, he thought this was an offering demanded by his God. He obtained an appropriate goat for the sacrifice. He ordered his servants to take the goat to the holy river to wash him and decorate him with flower garlands. Then they were to wash themselves as part of the purification practice. At the riverbank, the goat suddenly understood that today he would be killed. He also became aware of his past births and deaths and rebirths. He realized that the results of his past unwholesome deeds were about to finally be completed. So he laughed an uproarious goat laugh like the clanging of cymbals in the midst of his laughter, he realized another truth, that the priest, by sacrificing him, would suffer the same terrible results due to his ignorance. So he began to cry just as loudly as he had been laughing. The servants who were bathing in the holy river heard first the laughing and then the crying. They were amazed. They asked the goat, "Why did you laugh loudly and then just as loudly start to cry? What is the reason for this?" The goat replied, "I will tell you the reason, but it must be in the presence of your master, the priest." Since they were very curious, they immediately took the sacrificial goat to the priest. They explained everything that had happened. The priest, too, became very curious. He respectfully asked the goat, "Sir, why did you laugh so loudly and then just as loudly begin to cry?" The goat, remembering his past lives, said, "A long, long time ago, I too was a priest. I was well educated in sacred religious rites. I thought that to sacrifice a goat was a necessary offering to my God, which would benefit others as well as myself in future rebirths. However, the true result of my action was that in my next 499 lives, I myself have been beheaded. While being prepared for the sacrifice, I realized that today it is inevitable that I will lose my head for the 500th time. Then I will finally be free of all the results of my very unwholesome deed of so long ago. The joy of this made me laugh uncontrollably. But then I suddenly realized that you, the priest, were about to repeat the same unwholesome action and would be doomed to the same result of having your head chopped off in 500 lifetimes. So out of compassion and sympathy, my laughter turned into tears. The priest was afraid that the goat might be right. So he said, "Sir Goat, I will not kill you." The goat replied, "Reverend Priest, even if you do not kill me, I know that today I will lose my head and finally be released from the results of my past unwholesome action." The priest said, "Do not be afraid, my fine goat. I will provide the very best protection and personally guarantee that no harm will come to you." But the goat said, "Oh, priest, your protection is very weak compared to the power of my unwholesome deed due to the cause of what I have done, and it cannot stop the results about to happen. The priest canceled the sacrifice and began to have doubts about killing innocent animals. He released the goat and, along with his servants, followed him in order to protect him from any danger. The goat wandered into a very high, rocky place. He saw some tender leaves on a branch, and he stretched out his neck to reach them. Suddenly, a thunderstorm appeared out of nowhere. A lightning bolt struck an overhanging rock and cut off a sharp slab, which fell and cut off the goat's head. He died instantly, and the thunderstorm disappeared. There was a fairy that lived in a nearby tree, and he had seen everything that had happened. He appeared, gently fluttering in the air overhead. He began to teach the curious people, saying, "Look at what happened to the poor goat. This was the result of killing animals. All beings are born and suffer through sickness, old age, and death. But all wish to live, not to die." Not seeing that all have this in common, some kill other living beings. This causes suffering also to those who kill now and in countless future rebirths. Being ignorant that all deeds must cause results to the doer, some continue to kill and heap up more suffering on themselves in the future. Every time they kill, a part of themselves must also die in this present life, and the suffering continues even by rebirth into the hell realms. Those who heard the fairy speak felt they were very lucky. They gave up their ignorant killing and were far better off, both in this life and in pleasant rebirths. Fellow practitioners, please listen carefully. The law of cause and effect is unchangeable, immutable. Our greed, anger, ignorance, and arrogance have resulted in disasters that are increasing in both frequency and severity, and are approaching a scale that is impossible for us to imagine. Everything arises from the mind. But just as we have given rise to the cause of this approaching disaster, we can also give rise to another, greater cause that can maybe reduce, possibly, even prevent it from happening. We must replace thoughts of self with thoughts of all others We must give up feelings of pride, the desires for fame and wealth. We must let go of thoughts of trying to control others. Let go of narrow-mindedness and biased viewpoints. Let go of criticizing, of blaming, of gossiping. Let go of the thought of those who owe us, of those we owe. We must let go. Only by letting go can we return to purity and tranquility. Only in this way will our hearts become gentle. Our minds become serene as we give rise to the wisdom to accord with all beings, animate and inanimate. Only with gentle hearts and serene minds will we be able to solve our problems. The goodness that we can bring to others by using our loving kindness and compassion is infinite, is boundless. And this is our best, our only way to bring peace to our world. Not for ourselves, but for the sake of all sentient beings. Namo Amitabha. Homage to Buddha Amitabha.